What's that?
Did you pick music today?
I did.
I thought so. Just hearing this, I'm like, I bet Dave did music today.
We've had Warrant, we've had the Beatles, we've had a bunch of old stuff that you might know, like Switchin' to Glide.
There you go.
The Shape of Things to Come by the Head Boys.
Some of these old Casey classic stuff that comes back and you're like, hey, nobody else in the country knows these songs.
This is, I try to make it as eclectic as I can. Rach does a way better job with like the 90s stuff because she knows it so much better. And I enjoy the days that she does. But mine's always like an homage to being 15 years old in my bedroom, getting ready to hit play and record. For like a KC classic, you know, which back then wasn't a classic. It was just new music.
It was just a new song that you're hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
I remember those days of having those cassette recorders ready to go and you used to record your music off the radio like that. It was very cool.
There's something about scarcity that makes things special.
That's very true.
Whereas today, I could listen to literally anything I want to listen to.
Right.
And I tend to go back to the same stuff. But back then when it was like, oh, this may come up once every 3 hours, you know?
I miss those days of drop a needle on the record and just go through the album.
Yeah.
And listen to all those songs on there that now, if you're like, I'm not thrilled about that with the first 15 seconds. Boom, gone.
Yeah, you had to stand up.
You did.
You had to move the needle.
You did.
It wasn't quite worth it.
Well, and when you hear those songs now, if you grew up at that time, when you hear songs on the radio now and they end and the next song doesn't track into that, you're like, I feel like I missed something.
Rach, I know you're much younger than us, but did you get to enjoy some of that with music when you were very young?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like the biggest influence in my life when it comes to music, like, obviously, my dad and my brother and my mom. My mom has good taste in music, too. They were all influences on me, but the number one influence was the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what you said, like waiting to hear the song you wanted to hear.
Probably the point for you?
The point. Also, WLCA, the college radio station.
Man, I wish I could have listened to that. Area.
I mean, it was extremely influential on me because they just leaned a little bit more indie than alternative. They played lots of alternative music and they had like fun specialty shows and stuff, too. So that was just fun to listen to, but yeah, a lot of indie music.
Yeah, I know that you love being on DGS. Her 10th anniversary is coming up.
Hey,
in about a week.
Happy anniversary!
Thank you.
But 10 years, how fast it goes.
I would guess that your most magical experience in radio was when you were doing that, when you were fresh and you were, you know, cracking the mic for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. And I always thought I would just, well, you're delusional when you're in college and you haven't applied for any jobs yet. I'm like, I'll just go to the point and then I'll be on the point and I'll be the most successful DJ that's ever. And then that's like, can I be on? They're like, no.
No. We already have Donnie Fandango. You're good.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they don't need to keep hiring people after that. But if for some reason they were to say, like, We don't do bumper music anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because going through and picking songs and just kind of creating a mood is very important, I think.
Yeah, totally agree. Wheels, I apologize. We really should let you do music if you want to.
You guys don't want that.
No, I mean, although I have to call you out.
Yeah.
Lately on Rush Hour, I've been hearing some pop music.
No, we've gone to the rotators when we didn't have enough time to pick it out.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just tell Kyle or John and they're running like, we'll just pick the rotator because we didn't have time.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Especially for this week, you know, these little short 5-6 minute shows. Not much you can do with your music selection.
Yeah. Hard to build a vibe.
Yeah. Pretty hard.
Two songs.
Even there, I have to kind of self-edit every day, though. Like, there's just so much that I don't want people to be, like, scared.
Pick out a day. Do the music here.
Hey, you can just do it for like an hour. You don't have to do it for 12 segments. Boy, you guys are going to be...
Oh, thank God.
You guys will have headaches. He was like, where are my earplugs?
Would it be all Metallica all the time or something like that?
That's too old and too...
Pretty soft.
Too chill.
Oh, too chill.
Yeah.
Okay. This should be interesting.
Yeah. You get some. If you want some new stuff, I can get you.
And I was excited about Yacht Rock Day at the ballpark next Friday.
Oof.
That's kind of where I'm at these days. It's like, you know what's funny is, do you get those little reels that pop up that are just random music of people you've never heard of before?
I don't.
So I got that showed up on my Facebook feed, and this guy, Eddie Dalton, showed up. No idea who Eddie Dalton is. He's blues, but he popped up, never heard of him before. I'm like, I really like that. So I found him and started listening to him. What?
Eddie Dalton is that AI singer. Ah!
Is it really?
Yes. I knew it sounded familiar, wow. So I Googled him right away.
So I love it. I love the vibe that it creates when I want to just chill out. That is so funny. I'm so disappointed that that's not a real person.
Not as disappointed as we are.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
Dave did this story a few weeks ago that this is like the number one, like in that genre, this is the number one most streamed artist. I don't know how whoever created Eddie Dalton got him in front of so many people, but I mean, clearly very successful. Clearly people are digging it, but yeah, completely AI generated.
Well, they also know how to work an algorithm, which is why they get out there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you find that vibe, and like the only time that I listen to it is at night when I'm going to bed. So my wife, I don't know if you, do you listen to music or something while you're sleeping? Do you have something playing while you're sleeping?
I've experimented, but typically not.
So Jennifer uses the exact same thing all the time. And that's the little sort of background sounders. It's not music, but it's some little sounder thing that we go to sleep to every night now. Mm-hmm. And I would change it. I wouldn't do the same one. But happy wife, happy life. It's not a battle for me, right? I've been married 35 years. I could roll with the punches, baby. Let's go.
Not a hill you're going to die on.
Uh-uh. Not at all. So what I do is I found this, and I'm like, this is kind of my cool out. So I stick my earbuds in, lay my head on my pillow, and go to sleep listening to these. So it's funny. It's disappointing to learn that it's not real. But it makes sense as to why I would like it, because to Kevin's point, the algorithm knows what I listen to, and it's got that vibe that it feeds back to me and says, hey, here's your thing. It's so weird because driving down here, I was listening to this podcast talking about.
Thanks for that.
Sorry, man. I started off listening to you, but.
He's just afraid he was going to cancel him if he heard it.
Well, there is that. You don't need to drive down. We're good today, Elam. Thanks for being here. You were here yesterday. We don't need you in the building 2 days in a row.
That did mess me up because I was like, oh, it was nice to see Mike before his segment later this afternoon. I'm like, oh, man, it's Wednesday.
It's okay. We've got another day. But they were talking about political polling, and it's so hard to get people to answer the phone and do polls and get real results and say, hey, how are these races going? Because you've got a primary August 4th, and everybody wants to know, how are we doing? Are we connecting? Are we ahead? Are we behind? You don't know. So they started talking about using AI to do predictive analysis on this polling, mm-hmm. and it sucks. It's horrible. It's really good at looking back. It's really bad at looking forward. And it was interesting hearing this guy who works in predictive analysis polling of trying to figure out, why does it suck so bad? And how do we get our polling going? Older people will answer polls. Younger people will not. So if you look at what's my 65 plus voting looking like, I can get a decent handle on that. But if I want to go younger than that, and younger being under 50, mm-hmm. which is a huge voting block, mm-hmm. right? I can't figure out, where am I at? Am I ahead? Am I behind? What issues are good? What issues are bad? Trying to connect with voters.
I would never do that. I would never take a poll. I was just complaining a couple of hours ago about how I just want to buy something and not be pimped out for feedback every other day.
Right. I'm with you.
Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right. But I wouldn't do that either. Why would you do it? I wouldn't do it. Is it just some time?
No, I would say the new way might be you're just going to have to pay people. Offer people $50, they'll probably do it.
But then you can't afford to do the polls.
Well, no, I know this is the problem. But
yeah. You trust them as much.
You're either not going to get them, you're not going to get those people, or you got to find an incentive of some kind. I don't know what it would
be. So I'm on some list. They reach out to me to do political surveys a couple times a week. I get
phone
text.
Calls or texts?
Texts.
Yeah. So the text polls are the big thing. Do you get Mo voters?
Yes.
Yes. So that's...
And the other day, I'm like, fine, I'll do it. Like, I'll do it. Mike, it was so long. And I was like, I got to get back to doing what I was doing before. I'll gladly give you a few minutes of my time.
Yeah.
But then they're asking questions like, how do I feel about Democrats? How do I feel about Republicans? I'm like, I don't really know.
I don't really feel.
Right.
Well,
I don't,
like,
I don't know
person,
how to answer
right?
the question. Yeah. I don't care that
Is
much.
Is it open-ended?
No, it's like you pick like a, there's like
one
a,
through five
there's like
or whatever.
A gradient. Yeah, it's like somewhat neutral. Some, I feel strongly, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't really know how to answer these questions. Yeah. I guess if I really sat down and thought about how I feel about like the word Republican, it was just a little over the top, a little too time consuming. And I'm like, dude, I'm willing to give you information and help you out, but it was too, it felt like too much.
Yeah. It's like when I get that survey from Sam's Club, they tell you up front, hey, I have two questions. That's all I'm going to ask you. Two questions. Will you answer this? I'll give you two questions.
Right.
I'm in, I'm out, done.
And if you tell me it's 25 questions, sure, I'll do it at a time where I am like not at work. Because I was filling it out here and then it was taking an amount of time where I'm like, I got to get back to my job. I thought I could knock this out real quick and I can't.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah,
maybe they should make them shorter. People will be more into it.
You should have been listening to the show on the way down instead of a podcast because we had this great segment.
And I should have never said that live on the radio.
Now, we're doing this.
You're going to get canceled next week like a heart attack, baby.
We were reaching out to see if anyone wanted to be a guest Thursdays at 4.
And turns out we got a lot of responses.
A lot of responses.
Anybody who's not running for office, can you please?
People really receptive to it. Mike, you'll appreciate this story. We started this segment with Stevie Ray Vaughan, and these guys know this story, but he passed away, I believe it was August 27th. My buddies and I were in Europe. Okay. We're on like an 8-month trip, and we were on a sailboat in the Aegean Sea listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan and drinking and stuff. And the captain came out and said, Stevie Ray Vaughan. We said, yeah, man. And he goes, he died. We're like, no, Stevie Ray Vaughan. He's like, no, he died in a crash.
Wow.
And then we figured it out. He died that night before.
What a way to destroy your vibe.
But it was actually, I didn't want to see Stevie Ray Vaughan die, but we spent the next 2 hours listening to Stevie on a sailboat, drinking, and just feeling it.
That sounds amazing.
It was pretty great. It was pretty great. Yeah.
Just being on a sailboat, drinking with buddies in the Aegean Sea, that just sounds amazing to begin with.
Yeah.
But that was very cool.
It was. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. What have we done with innocence? Welcome back, DGS. Happy, I almost said Friday. Happy Thursday. We'll be here tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Turn it over, I'm guessing, to Matt Pauly for the pregame, and then the Cardinals play tomorrow, I believe, at 3:10. And that's Chicago in Chicago.
Yes.
And then we come home.
Yep.
With the Brewers.
5 in 4 days against the Brewers.
Nice.
And then 3 against the Braves.
Okay.
And that's it for the pre-All-Star portion of the schedule.
Got it.
Yep.
Nice.
Remember the Olympian who was arrested for reaching into the reflecting pool to feel a piece of the liner that had come loose?
Yes.
Jeanine Pirro has indicted him on a felony. So he is officially charged with a felony.
I guarantee you every big name defense lawyer in the country wants that case.
You know what? I'm not happy that it happened for him. That's unfair.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that happened to anyone, much less a proud Olympian. But I'm glad in that, once again, they're going to look like absolute fools.
Yeah. It'll probably, wouldn't it? I mean, if it doesn't get tossed out, what will it be? They'll plead down to a ticket?
I don't even know that it's illegal. Here's something people don't understand.
No, that's a great point.
Google people in the reflecting pool.
Yeah.
For decades.
People go in there.
People
they
go
it, yeah.
in there. Sanctioned. They go in and they swim. They go in and they this. They go in and they that. It's always been a thing going all the way back. And I'm not saying it should be a swimming pool, but I'm saying someone reaching their hand in and touching a piece of something that's already effed up.
Well, that's the thing. It's already falling apart.
Yes.
It's not like he's in there doing the damage. Yeah. I would imagine that every lawyer that wants a little bit of attention is going to want that.
Sad death. Village People singer and co-founder Victor Willis, I think he's the cop, died Tuesday, a day before his 75th birthday.
Oh.
His wife said he suffered a short but aggressive illness.
Hmm.
R.I.P. Another thing Trump has ruined, the Village People. Paul McCartney plays bass on a track on the new Rolling Stones album, but before they recorded it, Mick Jagger was concerned that Paul wouldn't be able to hang with them. Yeah. They just can't not throw each other shade.
They were rivals.
Stones and
the Stones used to be the bad boys.
Yeah.
I saw TikTok yesterday of Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the time that when they were young, they got to open for the Rolling Stones. It was like a really big deal. They did their show. And after the show, one of the guys comes up and says, "Hey, Mick and Keith want to meet you guys. Come on back." And he says, "We went back," and he goes, "Everybody, Mick and Keith could barely, I'm sorry, Mick was fine. He wasn't drunk. Everyone else in the band could barely stand. They were so drunk."
Hmm.
And this was 20 minutes before the Stones were going on for their show. And he was saying, "There's no way these guys are going to do this show. They're lost." And then they walked up on stage. He followed them out and watched them go. And it was like, boom, they were just on. They just turned it on.
That reminds me of a second Stevie Ray Vaughan story.
Huh.
Stevie Ray, you can watch this, did... live at Montreux, a jazz fest, and killed it, slayed.
Yeah.
And he got booed off the stage. And he went back to his dressing room, and he was literally sitting in the corner crying. And Mick Jagger and David Bowie were at the show, and they came back, and they told him, "That's the most amazing thing we've ever seen. We want you to play on our albums."
Wow.
He did the guitar on Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Yep.
And that was the start of his career.
That's awesome.
Then he went back to Montreux a couple years after, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, yeah. Stevie Ray."
Yeah, they forgot that they booed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just ahead of his time, man.
That's right. Don't wanna be your mom.